Let's talk about concept of God. Thinking whether or not I'm going to share a story with you first. A little bit of what I want you to think about. I wrote a definition down there. Concept is an idea or mental picture of a group or class of objects formed by combining all their aspects. So I think when I think of concept of God, what image comes to mind in certain instances? Now that may not fit the philosophy or whatever definition that's going to be in there, but for practical purposes and what I want to talk about tonight is, when you guys are thinking about God in certain instances, what picture or image comes to mind that maybe motivates you towards Him? Or what I think happens some is maybe doesn't push us away, but certainly is not inviting to us. But let me ask you guys, where do we pick those things up? Where does our concept of God come from? Okay, experiences. Where else? Okay, meaning. Okay, the church, things we've heard, teaching. Where else? Good. Parents, another biggie probably. Good. Any other thoughts? Friends, I think was mentioned. Concept of God. Television. Oh, yes. Television, okay? I think very much so. Anything else? Probably we could even throw that out to much media. I mean, pretty much any media, I suppose. Any other thoughts? Those are good. What a great idea. Well, that kind of leads me into, where do you think we should pick up, or where will we get a healthy and correct view of God, or concept of God? I suppose view would probably fit in there. The Bible, obviously. And I think too many times we're not looking, or we don't go that way. A couple stories that kind of led me into this thing. I don't think I'll tell you that one. That one just kind of popped in my head, but I think I'll stick with the other ones. I had two friends that we were at NAV night at USF, and I thought, you know, it'd be kind of interesting because this came out of actually a Love of God study that we've got for the staff to do. And they asked a couple questions, which we will get to down there, and it was very, very thought-provoking for me. I had not thought of, because images came to mind this time, kind of pictures of what I thought about God, and I realized they really did motivate me to want to move towards Him and to make some decisions. So I kind of got this. Oh, I'm curious what some of my friends' ideas are. So we were talking, and I can't exactly remember what we did that night, other than I know we broke into groups. And the question I asked one of the guys is, what's your concept of God? And the group that I was kind of leading the discussion, and we broke into a lot of them, so I'm not sure what happened on the others. But the guy says, well, you know, I've got one. And it just, I said, you know, I want it to be quick, and I want you to think a whole lot about it. He says, I've got one. I said, what is it? He says, I think God is like a mathematical equation. I thought, mathematical equation. I really didn't even know what to do with that. I think I said, oh, great, okay, how about another one? That was just really, now as I thought through it, I said, wow, how endearing, if it's a God of relationship, how endearing is, how much do I want to get with a God who's a mathematical equation? The second one was even more thought-provoking for me, and another guy says, yeah, I've got one too. God's like a proctor. And I said, a proctor? I said, unpack that for me. What do you mean? He said, well, like a proctor exam. I said, so he's kind of watching out over the crowd, looking to see when you mess up or when you make a mistake. He said, yeah. I said, okay, good. And he said, now occasionally he'll come over and say, oh, well, no, not that answer. It's this answer. So I said, he'll help you out occasionally then? He said, yeah. And so it made me start thinking, okay, I'm inviting my friends that don't have a personal relationship with Jesus into a relationship with Jesus, and what is their concept of God like? because I'm inviting them to a relationship with God. If they come to this situation and they hear me saying, when I say relationship with God, something is going to pop in their mind. And I thought, wow, I really need to start asking them, what's your concept of God? And where did it come from? Did it come from the many things you listed? Media, friends, I heard it in church, parents. Now, some of those I hope we're getting good ideas and good and correct concepts of God. But I realized, unbeknownst to me, I could be inviting them to their image of God, and I wondered why some of my friends didn't respond. So it really made me start thinking. I need to ask. And then, as many times I think God does, then it moves to me. Like, Jim, where do you get your concept of me from? And how many areas in your life have you got a wrong concept of me? How many times do you feel like, okay, well, you didn't have time, or you didn't take time, you took the time to sleep in, or I took the time to answer email or check Facebook, and I didn't get a quiet time. I didn't get any time with God this morning, and I just launched out. And, man, God's really upset with me. I thought, is that my concept? And so I started thinking through some of this, and I want to take you to a couple passages that have really helped me think through. Open your Bibles to Genesis 3, if you would. And I just want to dialogue with you, and kind of, I'm excited, and it's kind of neat that you guys are in Ephesians, inductively looking at that, because I want to talk about love of God and how this whole concept of God impacts that area and how strategic that is. But what you do with inductive Bible study is the most important aspect, probably, because I think a lot of what we do afterwards, it's... you think of the three components of inductive Bible study. Let me do a little quiz here a minute. Observation is the first one. Anybody know the second? Interpretation. Good. Close. And what about the last one? Make it personal. Application. Observation, interpretation, application. Observation, if you don't make enough observations, or don't spend enough time there, which is our tendency. I think you heard some of that, you went to the conference. We live life at 70, and we go past sections of, I just saw it on the way up on 75, so it was kind of interesting thinking about that. We go by patches that are purple. I can see purple flowers growing in the median, but I can't tell you what they look like at all. But if I would slow down and sit down or walk through, I could look at the color of the size of the petals, the number of the petals, the stamen, the colors. But we live life so quickly, and I think slowing down, taking the time to make good observations takes just that. But that leads to good interpretation, which will lead to correct application. So I think observation is probably the most important, and we move by it quickly. But make some observations with me. Genesis 3... you probably know the story. The serpent's here, more crafty than any other wild animal. Skip down to 6. The woman saw the fruit. The tree was good for food and pleasing the eye and also desirable for getting wisdom. She took some and ate. She gave it to her husband who was with her. He ate it. The eyes of both were open. They realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together, made coverings for themselves. And then really focus on 8 and 9 with me here. Then the man or the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. 9, but the Lord God called to man, "Where are you?" And then he answered, and maybe we'll look at that. A couple observations about 8 and 9. What do you see happening there? Okay. How'd they know it was God? Okay? It's probably a pretty good answer. And what does that imply that they recognize the sound? Okay. Probably had done it before. There was a pattern. So I love that there was relationship. Matter of fact, this is probably the first verse I use even when I'm sharing my bridge. That was a little detour there, but I don't know why it popped in my head. Just because I want to show people, my friends, that God had a relationship with man. And then 9, what does God do? Okay? He said, where are you? Do you think he knew where they were? What was he doing? He was initiating. And he was initiating after what had happened. They had sin. Were they going without stuff? Were they probably hungry? Was this the only tree to snag some fruit from? No. How big do you think the garden was? I don't know. How big do you think it was? No. Big enough for?
Enough. To be enough.
Okay. Okay. That's good. Okay. What else do you know about God that might have a... I mean, we don't know. I don't think the Bible says, but let's just have some fun to think a minute. What else do you know about God? Certainly was enough. What else does he like to do? Won't withhold good things from us, okay? So there's probably a lot of good things. How does he love? That song mentioned a couple. Would those be adjectives? Extravagant? Anyway, modifiers. I'm not real good on grammar. I imagine that the garden was ginormous. It was huge. You could walk for days in the thing. I don't know. This is just my take on it. But I see it as being just grand. All kinds of fruit. All kinds of things to eat. And I don't know, but I think God's amazing at what he's created. I love the mountains. I'm more of a mountain person than I am a beach person. I'll confess, even though I've lived in Florida 20-some years. When I look at the mountains, it's like, oh, God, you are amazing. Well, I think of the garden that way. It had to have been grand. So what do we do in the midst of abundancy? We choose to go our own way. Choose to do the one thing that God asked not to do. So we've just done that. We have just kind of snubbed our nose at God and said, thanks, but no thanks. I think I'll do this myself. I'm going to go my own way. And how would you respond to that? One thing you've asked. I mean, you've given free rein to someone of something you've owned and created. And asked them one, hey, would you mind just one thing I ask for you? This one tree over here, can you just stay away from that? How would you feel? Hurt? Anyone else? Any more strong feelings than hurt? Which hurt can be pretty strong. Rejected? Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, I give you guys all this stuff, and I ask just one thing of you, and doggone it, if you didn't go and take the one thing I asked you not to do. In the midst of abundancy, I wouldn't respond that way, but what do you see God doing here? He comes down and he initiates relationship. I thought when I read this, and I love Genesis 3, that's part of my concept of God. God is an initiator and will initiate relationship with us and does it over and over and over again. Whether you choose to... I used to think Isaiah... Anyone have Isaiah 53:6, is it? Or 56:3? Okay. I used to think, man, that is a verse for people that don't have a personal relationship with God. And now I think it's a verse for probably all of us, Christ followers and not. We have a tendency to go our own way. And here's God. He initiates with us. So I put that down as my concept of God. God is an initiator of relationship with me. And he does it over and over again. We can look at, which I don't want to take time, but you can flip over to 21 of 3. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. They didn't ask for that. Their fig leaves might have been doing pretty well. I don't know. Maybe God said, boy, those look pretty bad. I'm going to make some stuff for you. I don't know, but he initiated again and met their need. You could see provider in there. So I filed that down. Another one I love is... I guess I need to not be loud when I go down like that. Exodus 16. You can flip there and we'll look real quick. I'm going to kind of go quick on that one and on the Ezekiel one, and then I want to look at Luke 15 with you again a little bit. Exodus 16, about 6 weeks into being in the desert, grumbling and complaining about not having stuff to eat. And uh, 16:2 says, In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. You know, if we'd only died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, and we sat around with pots of meat, and we all ate food we wanted, and you brought us out here into this desert to starve. And in 4, excuse me, the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Why daily? I'm going to click going back here. Why daily? Yeah. Yeah. Because what's our propensity? Yeah, to be our own God and go our own way. There's other places, Luke 9:23. Does anyone know that one? Anybody want to share that one? I know, I hate when that happens. Yeah. You'll see, and if you start looking or thinking about it, there's a number of places in Scripture, His mercies are new every morning, that there's the implication of a daily thing. Something about God desires us, He desires us to be dependent on Him. And we're probably given to going our own way so much that it has to be daily. But Exodus 16, when I was going through there, I thought, there's really something here. God does want me to come to Him daily. And I use this even now when I'm helping my friends learn some stuff on getting time alone with God. Quiet time. Why, Jim, why daily? Well, I don't know. Let's go to Exodus 16. Let's look. Why did God provide this daily? He could have done some kind of Tupperware or something that they could collect it for a week and it'd stick. And some of them tried that, and it didn't work out. But God could have done that. It could have lasted. But he said, no, I want you to go out daily and do that and see that I've provided for you. Well, I love that about God. There's something daily. And I don't even have my hands around that fully. But that's a cool one. Ezekiel. The whole chapter I was going through probably last year in my quiet times, and I'd come to Ezekiel. Let me see where I'd have you turn. Dun, 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 dun. There is a phrase in here that is throughout the entire book, pretty much. Over 50, I counted last night, over 53 times it's listed in here. I've got a lot of yellow. Why don't you turn to, say, Ezekiel 13? It's as good as any. Because you'll see it all over here. Ezekiel 13, the end of verse 9, the last sentence. Someone read that for me. Okay. And how about 13, the end of 21? Okay, and then the end of 23, chapter 13. Okay, 14, end of verse 8. Okay, 12, the end of verse 16. You didn't have to look, did you? Verse 20 of 12. 11, verse 12. Chapter 11, verse 12. What's being repeated over and over and over again? Amazing. And what do you think? Why is he saying that? I'm going through Ezekiel and I'm thinking, it's everywhere. 50 some times in the first, I think it was first 40 chapters, over 53 times he says this, over and almost verbatim the same thing. I said, man, some of this stuff is hard. He's like wiping out and there's a remnant left. But he's saying, you know why I'm doing this? I want you to know that I am the Lord God Almighty. I want you to know who I am. And I thought, bingo, this is another concept of God thing. God wants to be known. He wants to reveal himself to you. He's not a hider of his plans for you. He doesn't keep like, oh, let's see if they can find this one out. What I pulled out of there is God wants to be known. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And then last one. Everybody turn to Luke 15. You guys are all familiar with this. Prodigal son. So young son comes up, says, hey, give me my inheritance. I know you're not dead. It's kind of rude for me to ask this, that you're not dead, but I want my money and I want it now. Father says, okay, gives it to him, goes out, he squanders it. You guys know that, ends up slopping pigs, being in there, thinks, I'm going to go back. My dad's servants live better than I am now. I'm going to go back there. And so verse 20, go down to verse 20 with me. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. How'd the father know that his son was coming back then? He was watching. What was he hoping for? Yeah. He had to have been thinking that, I hope my son comes back. Man, I hope my son comes back. Anticipating that he's going to do that. And then what was his response? He ran. Didn't wait for the son to come back in. Didn't wait for, hey, how's it been going? He ran. Well, what do you know happened after that? He ran to him and did what? Yeah, kissed him. And did what else? I mean, we didn't read it for... I'm sorry? Gave him a feast. Clothed him. Gave him a ring. What's that say about the father's concern for what had happened? Didn't matter. Didn't ask him, hey, I gave you a lot of money when you left. You got any left back? I mean, what happened? Didn't ask that at all. And I thought, man, God, you anticipate my returning. You long for me to return. That's huge. And then you don't even, I screw up, I've been going my own way. I've been basically, again, thumbing my nose at you and saying, I can do this better. You don't even ask me about that. You throw a party that I'm back. So I've been thinking and just pondering on this stuff. And then I kind of started thinking, okay, well, one area that I think it's really important for me to understand is how much does God love me? How does my concept of Him impact this area of the love of God? And how skewed might I be in there? And we already read the NIV version. And the New Living, I thought it was kind of interesting. And again, it's neat that you guys are studying Ephesians. I thought it was kind of interesting the way that Paul goes through and mentions this. Follow with me in that New Living paraphrase. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust Him, in Him. May your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep is His love. And then I bolded this. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. And then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I've always been struck in that NIV, it says, and I think, oh, I can't remember what the NAS says, but it says, to grasp how long and wide and high in His prayers, and to know that love surpasses knowledge. I thought, to grasp and to know, those are pretty close. Why is there almost, it seems like, repetition, like you're asking twice for the same thing? And so I started digging, and I started looking at those. I wanted to understand, see if those Greek words are the same. And that second one, they are different. The second one is, I think it's gnosko or gnosis, or that's probably not really important, but it has the implication of experientially knowing God. Not just an intellectual knowing of Him, but experience Him. So follow with me on this Amplified, and this one does get a little more wordy, but may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in the love and founded securely on it, that you may have the power to be strong and apprehend and grasp with all the saints, defined saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth of it. And then bolded again, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ. And goes on there. And differentiates between mere knowledge without experience. And then I started thinking, how have I experienced God? I graduated in 85, so you can do the math, from UF, and spent 7 years as a sales rep, manufacturer's rep, lived in Gainesville, traveled North Florida, then 7.5 years, almost 8, in a family business in Sarasota. And then God kind of started knocking on my door a little bit and said, hey, what if you go back to, you were impacted significantly being involved with the Navigators campus ministry. What if you were to do that? And I gave God about every excuse. No, I don't want to fundraise. I don't want to live by faith in that sense. And God was just so gracious in patiently allowing me to throw my little, I don't know, maybe it was temper tantrums, but to tell God, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I don't think I can trust you that way. 2-year process came around. I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in that. And it has been amazing how I have experienced God after stepping out and now continuing to have to step into uncomfortable situations, facing fear, and by God's grace, stepping through some of that and seeing him be exactly who he is. It has grown huge. Huge, my understanding of who God is. And so these are the two questions that started this whole thing for me out of that study. What picture comes to mind when you think about God's love for people? And what picture does come to mind? Just throw out some, don't think about it too long. What picture comes to mind when you think of God's love for people? What image? The infinity symbol. Oh, that's interesting. The infinity symbol, okay. What else? Okay. Good. What image comes to mind? Okay? God's love for people. Jesus on the cross. Jose? Okay? Good. Any others? The nations. Okay? Big globe. Maybe spinning. Okay?
The woman at the well.
Woman at the well? No, that's fine. That's fine. Just park them out.
People that
nobody in society wants that are rejected. Oh, that's cool. That's good. Let me make it a little more personal now. What image comes to mind when you think of God's love for you? And maybe I don't even want you to answer that. But here's the question. Is it inviting? Is it something that you get excited about? And I mean no disrespect, but when I asked that question to some of the group, one of the things was, well, I think of the cross. And I thought of that, and for me, I thought, man, when I think of that, I think of the cross as lonely and dark and rough and painful. And I don't think those just come to mind when I think of the cross. Maybe I've got issues. I know I have issues. But, you know, maybe that's part of it. But a picture that God gave me that's been very, very impactful, and you guys will snicker a little bit, and that's okay, very impactful for me in when I picture God's love for me, that I think of Starbucks. And I like coffee. And God's back end, you know how Starbucks, there's always like, you got all the hard chairs, your butt hurts after a while, but then you got the cushy chairs. You got the ones where, you know, everyone fights for. As soon as someone leaves, they pick all their stuff up and they go get those chairs. And when I come in, I can see God waving at me. Jim, I'm back here. And he's in the cushy chairs and he's got that. And then I get closer and I see he has my favorite drink already bought for me. It's a decaf caramel macchiato. Now I get that one. I just get a decaf regular coffee when I get a cookie. But if I'm not getting a cookie, I get a decaf caramel macchiato. And he knows that. And he's already ordered it for me. He's in the cushy chairs and he's waving. Jim, I'm back here. I'm back here. And he's been looking for me. And he's anticipating that I'm coming. And then I come back and we get time together. And you guys, as silly as that might sound, because I've come to the Word on some of those things, and experience also has taught me that God's an initiator, and he's anticipates that you guys, he wants you to come to him. And so he's initiating. He's been there before me, and he knows me. He knows my favorite drink, and he's a provider, and he's purchased it. And he wants to be known, and we engage in some just cool conversation. And that has had a big impact on, man, does God even want time with me today? And I think, even though it's maybe structured in today's thing, I think it's biblical. God anticipates, he initiates, he provides. He's a revealer. He's not a hider. And I can go on and on. That's kind of built that for me. But I get excited when I think of that. And that God loves me that much. And so I just left something for you at the bottom that maybe in a time with God this week or something that you can come up with. Get some time. But look through those Psalms and answer the question, what is God's love like? And you'll see pretty quick what some of those verses are. And then think about that. Slow down. Don't drive 70 past all those verses. And sit and look at the purple flowers. Now, you guys think I'm kidding, but if you drive down 75 right now, you'll start seeing a lot of those. Sit and look at them. What's the stamens like? What are the petals? I don't know any other parts of the flower, but what are they like? Slow down. And then one other thing, let me leave you with this because it's changed my view of going to the Old Testament. I want you guys, the Old Testament is so foundational to the New Testament. If you're not going there, you need to. Do Ephesians maybe for your quiet times, and then go to Genesis. And then maybe go back to Philippians or one of the Gospels, and then go back to Exodus or go back to Samuel or pick up Ezekiel. Check and see if I'm right. But bounce back and forth even. And when you're going through the Old Testament, ask these two questions. I want you to get the narratives. The stories are great. But after you've got them, don't think that's all that's there. Go back and say, God, who are you? And how do you treat people? Just keep those two questions up there. When I was going through Ezekiel, it popped up and said, wow, you're a God who wants to be known. So I hope that changes. I hope that your concepts of God start changing. I hope they come more in line with who he really is. Because as you start to get that, I think it will light a fire under a number of things when you're coming to His Word and you're coming to God and you realize how much He loves you. And then you can share with your friends on some of that. Let me pray real quick. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you for loving us the way you do. Thank you for the sacrifice you made for us, that you became like a man, that you gave up your rights as God and humbled yourself. And you initiated even again with us that we might know you. Thank you that you are a God who is an initiator. Thank you that you are a God who is all about relationships. May you just blow the doors off of our concept of who you are. May you clean up what needs to be cleaned up. May you erase what needs to be erased and rebuild what needs to be rebuilt. And may that have a tremendous impact on how we view you. Thanks for loving us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks.